Yeah, so this week we're going to be talking about the beauty of silence. And this is pretty central to centering prayer and understanding how silence fits in. So I wrote the blog already on this, and I like to have some kind of a thought-provoking tagline for the blog. And what I wrote is this, that silent stillness is the killer app for transformation of our inner world, neurologically, mentally, and spiritually. And it takes us to the closest place we can get to God. So that's just something provocative to think about. And this is how I want to describe it. We used to live in Cape Town when we were students, and one of the great things about Cape Town is it's got this mountain that's the famous Table Mountain that's visible almost everywhere that you are within Cape Town. And one of the great things about that is if you're ever lost, you look up and you see the mountain, and then suddenly you immediately know where to go. But often we had this frustrating thing where the university was on this side of the mountain, but most of the nice beaches were on that side of the mountain. So you're always trying to kind of cross over and go to the other side of the mountain. And being from Johannesburg, you didn't always know which way to drive. And so the simple rule of thumb is my ultimate destination was beyond the mountain, but the mountain showed me my direction. And so in centering prayer, silence is the interim goal. It's like the mountain that you're aiming at. It's not a goal in itself. The ultimate goal lies beyond the mountain, which is the presence of God. And there's a ton of other things that come with that presence of God that silence achieves, and that centering prayer, that this form of meditation achieves. But silence is like that goal that you can aim at, that will help you to get to that. So we are doing Christian meditation. We are concerned to remain within Scripture, within the Bible. And what's amazing, even though it's not much practiced these days in kind of mainstream Christianity, is that the call to silence is very clear in the Bible. And so in the notes, which you guys will be able to get on the blog, I just chose 14 verses, which there's many more verses than this on the topic. And I'm not going to thankfully go through all 14 now. And of these 14, there's a variety of six Hebrew and Greek words for silence. All of these 14 are incidentally in relation to our connection to God. You know, so this is not Jesus telling the storm to be quiet, to be silent. This is God telling men and women to be silent so that they can connect with Him. And there's six different words, and this isn't going to be the time for us to do the study, except I want to touch on two or three of these verses quickly just to get you a sense of, you know, when God calls us to silence, it's because He created us to need that as part of connecting with Him. And what does it mean? So the first one that I love the most is Psalm 131, verse 2. I have stilled and quieted my soul. That word quiet is the word damam, which means be silent, be still, cease, stop, and wait. So it says, I've stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. It's beautiful that, because a pre-weaned child is insecure about when the food's going to come. And so it shouts and screams until the food comes. And that's often what we like when we don't know how to get to God, how we don't know how to get to silence. As we grow in meditation, we develop that trust in His presence where we're able to just quickly let go of things and know the food's going to come because I'm loved And that's what a weaned child does. So that's the first one. And there's a bunch of other verses on that. The second one is Psalm 46, verse 10. It's a famous one many of us know. Be still and know that I am God. Wow. It implies that true knowing that he is God comes from being still, not from going to seminary or hearing stuff, because true knowing of God, as we said before, isn't here, it's here. And so it requires silence of the mind. Now that word is beautiful. It's the word rapha, which means to sink, to relax, to abandon, to cease, and to let go. So when we say silence, we mean all of those things, and I particularly love the let go one. And then this next one is beautiful. One of my favorite verses, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. He will quiet you with his love. Quiet you, silence you with his love. That one is the word charash. But isn't it beautiful, the thought that there's a silence that comes to our lives like that weaned child just knowing his love? So these are some of the senses, and as I say, there are 14 here that you can go and study and think about. One of the ones that I love the most, which is Revelations 8, verse 1. It says, when the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So it's almost like this, the most pivotal cosmic moment in all of God's history with earth. There was just this awed silence. So you kind of wonder why would we be nervous of silence? It's a place where you can meet God. So I think all of that's just to say that it's an extremely sound concept. It's a beautiful concept. And so what I want to do now is just go over 9 benefits, 9 effects of silence to make you really hungry for it, to understand, therefore, that this is a key thing that you should aim at in centering prayer. And let me just clarify. When I say silence again, I think this is obviously clear to us all, is we're not talking about telling the kids to keep quiet or turning the TV off. That's not what's meant by silence. Remember, to back up, this is all based on Matthew 6, verse 6, where Jesus said, when you pray, when you want to connect with God, how do you do it? Enter your inner room and close the door. And we spoke about how those weren't physical rooms and doors. They were, the inner room is the heart, and the door that you close is silence. Colby, welcome. The United Kingdom has finally joined us.
Hi guys, I'm sorry I'm late.
No problem. No problem. We're talking about silence. So let me go over 9 benefits of silence pretty quickly, and then we'll briefly listen to a video clip of Thomas Keating's on this, and then we'll practice it. So, number one, silence improves the health of your brain. Won't spend much time on this today, but a healthy brain needs time in so-called alpha mode. Our brains, especially our Western brains and brains that are influenced by these things, are almost constantly in a different mode called beta mode. Neurological research shows that if your brain gets too much time in beta mode and not enough time in alpha mode, you get anxiety, you get sometimes aggression, you get in the extreme addictive behavior patterns and rut-like thinking. And this is, I think, just a general problem that society is going to be facing more and more as the stress on lives increases and as technology just keeps us in beta mode all the time. And so alpha mode is a different mode, and you get it when you listen to music and you're relaxing, but one of the best times you get it is when you're silent, when you meditate. Secondly, silence produces mental clarity and greater creativity. When we spend some time in alpha mode, it's almost like it unlocks more of our brains, left brain and right brain. That's why, and I said this in our first session, many Silicon Valley CEOs and many other CEOs spend an hour or two meditating before they begin work. Why? Because it both makes their left brain, their cognitive, analytical part, more effective, but it also unlocks their creativity and their kind of almost artistic type. The third thing is that silence meditation increases your mental and physical energy. But here is now where we move into what we're doing. And the fourth benefit of silence, probably the central benefit of silence, is that silence is an entryway into God's presence. Thomas Keating says that silence morphs into God's presence. And the way that really works, the basis for that, is knowing that God's presence is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, but you're not aware. Your brain is over there. You're like the unweaned child. And so when you become silent, you're becoming aware of what is, which is that his presence is in you. Silence basically removes the obstacles to recognizing God's presence. And that's when you recognize, when you're aware that his presence can begin to transform and work in you. The fifth point about silence is a refining process that purifies away the false drives within you. This is quite powerful. It's also quite uncomfortable. So let me explain. When any metal goes through a process of purification, the way they do that is they melt the metal. And then the impurities float to the surface and they can be removed. And I just love that analogy. I've often shared about it, that Christ keeps doing that in our lives. He heats us up, pressure, maybe suffering we spoke about. The impurities float to the top, he wipes them away, and then he repeats the process again and again until he can look into the metal and see his reflection. But silence does the same thing, because in silence the heart softens and things loosen up in the inner man. And so the false aspects of our lives float to the surface and we become aware of them. They, in fact, become the thoughts that you begin thinking about that distract you in times of meditation. Like I said, early on it's about what's for supper. Later on it's, I'm feeling out of control in my life. Why? Well, something's coming up. And you become aware of it and God can deal with it. So that's the fifth benefit. The sixth benefit is similar. Silence helps us to let go of unhealthy attractions. I love, in South Africa, we've got a type of thorn tree called the wagebikkie. And that's Dutch for wait a bit. Because if you walk past this tree, the thorn is shaped in such a way as to catch your clothes. And you have to wait a bit. You have to first loosen yourself, because you'll rip your clothes if you just keep walking. And there's so much in our lives that hooks us like that, and it sucks energy out of us. The most obvious one of those is when you've got relational conflict where you've got some kind of resentment, and it just causes you to need to wait a bit. It just arrests your progress. But in meditation and silence, that becomes evident. That comes up right into your face. And then you're faced with what? The need to exercise the let go muscle, which is not a mental process, it's a process of the heart. And when you do that, it just releases God's presence to work inside of you. But it's not just forgiving people. It's forgiving disappointments. It's forgiving yourself. It's forgiving a sense of loss, letting go of any of those things. And silence helps you to be free of these unhealthy attractions. So all of this happens when you get quiet. It's amazing. The next thing is that silence transforms your identity. This is incredible. And it's a subtle thing you might not get if you're early on in this practice. One of the greatest things that meditation and silence have done for me in the last 2 years is I feel like I've just got a whole new sense of identity. Why? Because you realize that you're not your mind. And that's a pretty good thing, because if you knew what goes on in my mind and what goes on in your mind, you actually don't want to be your mind. Sometimes we need a break from our minds. And silence helps you to realize that you're so much more than just the sum total of your thoughts. You are a created being. And as you get silent and as you connect to the presence of God, you get this knowledge that you are what God created of you, that's in you. And that's different from your anxious thoughts. That's different from your messed up thoughts, your conflicting thoughts. You aren't your thoughts. But actually, if all you do is live in here, then you are your thoughts. Or at least you think you are. And so that's another tremendous benefit of silence. Now, this creates for me, it's been confidence and energy and a sense of purpose that isn't just because of mental games that I've played with myself. The eighth benefit is silence brings greater peace and tranquility as a direct product of more connection with God's presence, but also as a direct product of letting go of stuff, of the transformative process, and of this new sense of identity. And finally, silence increases your spiritual sensitivity, or to use more modern lingo, it gives you a higher level of consciousness. You become aware of the spiritual realm. It's like silence and the rich sense of God's presence suddenly takes your life from being a black and white movie to being a color movie. It's just something new's been added. It suddenly transforms your life from living in this 3D world to understanding that there's a fourth dimension under everything. And it's not just that you've been told that, oh yeah, there's a spiritual world, yeah, there must be, but it's like you know there's, and deeper than your mind, you're in it. So why am I doing this in the form of discussing nine benefits of silence? Well, I hope to make you hungry for it, but I hope for you to aim at this mountain, Table Mountain, that is the direction, the interim goal towards the ultimate goal of experiencing God's presence. Of the benefits that I listed, and I saw some of you getting nervous as I was talking, and I went through the first one about beta and alpha, and then the second one about creativity. Last week we discussed faith-based and non-faith-based forms of meditation. And the non-faith-based forms would acknowledge those first three. They'd say, yeah, absolutely, it is good for me neurologically. Yes, it releases creativity. And yes, it produces more energy in myself. But they wouldn't acknowledge the ones that I went further down the list on, which is an entryway into God's presence, interior transformation, a true sense of identity of how God's created us. They would just say, well, those are just maybe things that happen from your brain. But we know that we're much more than just a brain. There's much more in us. But there's no doubt about those early things. And I think you probably want them, right? bit of brain health be fine. And there's a ton of research that proves those. So from our point of view, in the sense of this being a faith-based method and particularly Christian faith-based method, we understand that all of these benefits flow from one single wellspring. And it's the wellspring of God's presence in our lives. That produces ultimately neurological health. That produces a sense of identity. That produces peace. That produces transformation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But so often we live without a rich sense of that. That's the big problem of life. I love what Thomas Keating, the guy who developed the centering prayer methodology, says. He says his whole life is dedicated to one thing, and that's dispelling the monumental illusion that God is absent. It's a monumental illusion. It's like you're living in a matrix of some computer program when you think God is absent. And also, yeah, so I think let's leave it there. I want to quickly play this video for you.